بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his followers from whatever he feared for them. In our last lesson, we mentioned that a man showed up in Al-Kufa called Al-Mukhtar Al-Thaqafi. He claimed that Muhammad, the son of Al-Hanafiyya, was Al-Mahdi, and that he himself was his assistant. Then later, he claimed to receive revelation. So, Mus'ab ibn Zubayr directed an army under the command of Al-Muhallab, and they fought. The army of Al-Muhallab fought the army of Al-Mukhtar, and Al-Mukhtar was defeated and was killed as a result in the year 67 Hijri. Then Mus'ab had to fight an enemy mobilized by Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, now the Umayyad ruler. And Abdul Malik ibn Marwan had appointed a very ruthless person called Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi to lead this campaign against Abdullah ibn Zubayr in Mecca. However, before going to Mecca, they met with the army led by Mus'ab, and the army was defeated, and Mus'ab, rahimahullah, was killed in the year 71 Hijri. And we mentioned that his brother Abdullah addressed the people with a speech in which had a eulogy about his brother, praising him, saying that he died as a martyr. Inshallah, today we'll continue by saying that Abdullah ibn Zubayr, rahimahullah, prepared himself to fight Abdul Malik, the Umayyad ruler. Al-Hajjaj, the commander of the army of Abdul Malik, came with his army and put Mecca under siege in the year 73 Hijri. So that, like, 2 years after Mus'ab was killed. Now, Abdullah ibn Zubayr had been fighting for a while. His group, his supporters, those who are around him, they felt that they were about to lose this encounter with Al-Hajjaj. And as a result, a group of those supporters left Abdullah ibn Zubayr, and this left the remainder of the supporters weak. Despite this, the siege of Al-Hajjaj continued for more than 8 months. It means Al-Hajjaj could not go into Mecca for 8 months, despite the weak supporters of Abdullah now. And Mecca was not a fortified city. Despite that, for 8 months, Al-Hajjaj could not enter Mecca. Most of the companions or supporters of Abdullah ibn Zubayr got exhausted with the long time fighting. It's like they got bored with it. Al-Hajjaj, he communicated to them that they would be safe if they left the area. If they left Abdullah ibn Zubayr, he guaranteed their safety. And as a result, about 10,000 of the supporters of Abdullah ibn Zubayr left Abdullah to Al-Hajjaj. And as a result, Abdullah came to his mom, his mother, Lady Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr, Aisha's sister. And he said, "Mom, the people let me down, even the people of my house, even my own relatives." Two of his children, Hamza and Khubayb, they left Mecca to Al-Hajjaj. So he said, "People let me down, including my own blood, my family, and I do not have with me except small number of people who have the energy to just fight for a short time. They don't have the energy to fight for a long time. So what do you think I should do? What's your opinion?" His mother, Asma radiallahu anha, she said, "You, my boy, I swear by Allah, know more about yourself. If you know that you are following the truth, you are right, and you are calling to the right thing, then you should continue to do that. Your friends, your supporters were killed for that purpose, because you are right. However, if you wanted only the world, you wanted just to be famed, to be a leader, you wanted worldly, you had worldly goals, then how bad a slave you are. You are the worst slave. You have put yourself in danger, you have destroyed yourself, and also you have destroyed your friends, your supporters. And if you say, I used to be on the right path, but when my companions got weak, I got weak. If you say that I am following the truth, but now I'm weaker because my people got weaker, then such an attitude, such a deed is not the deed of the best of the people of merit, and is not the deed of religious people. How long will you live in this life? How long are you going to stay in this dunya?" So when Asma said that, Abdullah ibn Zubayr approached his mother and kissed her head, and he said, "This, I swear by Allah, is my opinion. This is what I think I should do. I never depended on this life. I never inclined myself to this life. I didn't want to live in it. I didn't love to be in it. And I did not come out except to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, I wanted to see what your opinion is. I would love to hear your opinion. Now you made me see more than what I saw. The path was clear to me. You made it even more clear to me. So, Mom," he said, "I feel I'm killed by the end of this day. So do not let your sadness get intense. Resign your situation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your son never did a munkar, a sin on purpose. And he did not commit any enormous sin, any fahisha. And he did not rule unjustly. And he did not betray when he gave safety to others. He did not on purpose do injustice to a Muslim or to someone who had an agreement, a treaty with the Muslims. And I never received the news of injustice done by my governors, and I accepted it. I never did that. But I always rejected it and worked on it. And there is nothing to me which is more, has more priority than obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, Abdullah ibn Zubayr continued to say, O Allah, I don't say that about myself to commend myself, to just praise myself. You know about me more than I do. However, I say this to console my mom, to comfort her, so that she would not feel, you know, very sad for losing me. His mom said, Asma radiyallahu anha, she said, I hope from Allah that my solace, my comfort in you would be a good one if you died before me. I hope that Allah will grant me comfort, solace, a good one, means she'll be patient and she would bear with losing you if you died before me. Go out so that I would see what happens to you. So he said, May Allah, O man, may Allah reward you with good things. Jazakallahu ya ummah khayra. Do not quit making dua for me before I die and after I die. She said, I never do that. I never quit making dua to the one who was killed following the wrong thing. And you, if you get killed following the truth, certainly I will not leave out making dua for you. Then she said, O Allah, have mercy on my son for the long time that he stayed praying at night. O Allah, have mercy on him for the crying that he did out of fearing you, and for the fasting that he did on the hot days in Al-Madinah. And, O Allah, ask you to have mercy on him for his kindness to his father and for being kind to me. O Allah, I have accepted, I am pleased with what you have willed, what you have decreed. O Allah, give me reward concerning Abdullah, means the killing of Abdullah, the death of Abdullah. My son, give me the reward of the patient ones. Then he approached his mom, his mother, and he kissed her and said goodbye to her. When she was, you know, hugging him and so on, her hand touched his chest, and she found that he was wearing an armor. So she told him, what is that? This is not the deed of a person who wants to be a shaheed. You're wearing an armor. It looks like you don't want to be a shaheed. She told him, this is not the deed of the one who is seeking martyrdom. So he told her, I did not wear this armor except to make your heart stronger. She said, it doesn't do it. It doesn't make my heart stronger. So he took his armor off. He unrolled his sleeves and he tucked his clothes in so that he'll be able to move better. Then he went out fighting the enemy, and he kept on fighting them until he became by himself defending himself. One of those who were fighting him said, we used to enter from one of the doors of Al-Haram, the masjid, about 500 to fight him. He would go out and fight us. And we run away from him. And he keeps on chasing us. And he would say lines of poetry, which means that I am a good person, I am a patient person. And I used to say, this person who is describing his fighting from the other side, I used to say, yes, wallahi, I swear by Allah, you are the hur, you are among the meritorious person, people, you are the honorable person. And I saw him in Mecca. It's like an area where they were fighting him, and it's exposed. No one was daring to approach him as if he was not to be killed. People were worried that he's not gonna die because he's, you know, fighting so bravely that he's not gonna be harmed at all. Then they made a trick and they threw stones at him, and one of the stones hit his head and his blood started flowing down, and this made him weaker physically. When he saw the blood coming, he said a line, وَلَسْنَا عَلَى الْأَعْقَابِ تُدْمَى كُلُومُنَا وَلَكِنْ عَلَى أَقْدَامِنَا تَقْطُرُ الدَّمَى أَوْ الدِّمَى and يَقْطُرُ الدَّمَى. Different narrations. He, by this line, said that we, when we bleed, our blood does not fall on our heels, meaning that our blood does not come down when we are running away from the enemy. Instead, our blood flows down on our feet from the front while we are fighting the enemy. So when this bleeding took place, they got him on his head with that stone. Then they got to him. He was weaker now, and they could kill him together, come to him and kill him. Now, one of those who was fighting, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, stood next to his body, and he said, the women of our time have not given birth to a person who is more manly than you. He said, the women of our time did not give birth to a person who was more manly than this man, Abdullah. So the commander of the army, this ruthless person, Al-Hajjaj, told him, you are praising the one who went against the ruler, Amir al-Mu'mineen. It means he was going to kill him. He told him, yes, if we say that, then we are excused for having taken that long to defeat him. If you say that your enemy is very strong, then you'll be excused for not having fought and won over him in a short time. That's an excuse. So, when these words reached Abdul Malik, the ruler, then Abdul Malik said, yes, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, whatever this man said about him, that he is the most manly person, he was right, because he knew him before he became a ruler. And Al-Hajjaj, this ruthless commander, he, you know, posted the body of Ibn Zubayr on a, you know, some boards after having him killed. They also chopped his head and sent it to Abdul Malik in Syria. So this is the way that the fighting between Abdullah ibn Zubayr and the people of Umayyad has happened, and it led to his killing. Inshallah, I thought it is proper to just have an idea who Abdullah ibn Zubayr was, who stood against this dynasty, the Umayyad dynasty. First, he is Abdullah, the son of Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. And we know Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam is one of the 10 companions given the news of paradise. So this is his son. And his mother is Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiyallahu anhuma, the woman who helped the Prophet and Abu Bakr, you know, in their immigration. The kunya of Abdullah was Abu Bakr, and sometimes they called him Abu Khubayb because his son was Khubayb. And he was the first child to be born to the people of Mecca in Al-Madinah. You know, the people of Mecca, Al-Muhajirun, the immigrants, they left Mecca upon the orders of the Prophet to Al-Madinah, which is north of Mecca, where the Prophet had immigrated. So, the mother of Abdullah, Asma, radiyallahu anha, she was pregnant, carrying him when she immigrated to Al-Madinah. And as soon as she arrived to Al-Madinah, she gave birth to him in the area called Quba, which is on the skirt of Al-Madinah. She said, after I gave birth to him, Lady Asma said, I brought him to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he put him in his lap. The Prophet put Abdullah, baby Abdullah, in his lap. Then he asked for a date. When they gave him the date, the Prophet took the date and he chewed it in his mouth until it became very, you know, smooth or... Then the Prophet spat in the mouth of Abdullah. So the first thing that came into the mouth or the body of Abdullah ibn Zubayr was the spit of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the saliva of the Prophet. Then the Prophet took the date and he rubbed the mouth of Abdullah, the inside, with that date. Then he made dua for him and made barakah for him. And as we said, he was the first child to be born to the people of Mecca in Al-Madinah. And the Prophet called him Abdullah and made dua for him. Now the Muslims were very happy for the birth of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, because the Jews who lived in Al-Madinah at the time had claimed that they had put a witchcraft on the Muslims in Al-Madinah, and then they will not be able to give birth to any child. So when he was born immediately, like as soon as they arrived, this was a very happy occasion for the people in Al-Madinah. And the Muslims in Al-Madinah said takbir, Allahu Akbar. And Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet, he heard the people of Asham, the army of Umayyad, say takbir when Abdullah ibn Zubayr was killed. Remember, we said he was killed. So when the news came to the people in Syria, to the enemy, that Abdullah ibn Zubayr was killed, they said takbir. And Abdullah ibn Umar had heard this takbir. He told them, he said, oh, I swear by Allah, the ones who made takbir upon the birth of Abdullah were better than the ones who made takbir upon his killing. Because they were the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Al-Madinah. Then Abu Bakr being what? His grandfather, isn't it? So Abu Bakr al-Siddiq made adhan in the ear of Abdullah upon his birth. And then al-Siddiq, Abu Bakr, took Abdullah and walked around Al-Madinah so that his birth would be known to all Muslims, to disprove the claim of the Jews that the Muslims will not have any children born to them because they claimed they had put some witchcraft on them. Now, of course, Abdullah ibn Zubayr was born, we said, in the first year of Hijrah. So, and when he grew up, when the Prophet died, he was about 10 years old or 9 years old. So he was one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He narrated many hadith from the Prophet. He narrated from his father Az-Zubayr, from our master Umar, from our master Uthman. And he narrated from other companions of the Prophet, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many tabi'un, many followers of the companions, narrated hadith from him. He attended the battle of Al-Kamal, but he was young yet. He was present when Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu gave the khutbah in Al-Jabiyah. And he was one of the narrators to narrate the whole khutbah, the long khutbah of Umar, given in that place called Al-Jabiyah, when Umar was going towards the area of Ash-Sham. Also, among the things that he did, this Abdullah ibn Zubayr, that he came to Syria later, you know, means before his this agreement with the Umayyads, to invade Constantinople, the fortified city of the Romans at the time. Many times he went with the army who wanted to open it. He was given caliphate, means the people paid allegiance to him as their caliph, the day when Yazid died, and then his son Muawiyah did not want to be a caliph and died. So people did not have a caliph, so people accepted him as the caliph. They paid allegiance to him as the caliph. In Al-Hijaz, in Al-Yaman, in Iraq, in Egypt, in Khurasan, and the other areas of Ash-Sham, except the city of Damascus, which was loyal to the Umayyad. And this happened in the year 64 Hijri. This caliphate was given to him. He was chosen as a caliph in the year 64. And people were living well during the time of his caliphate. Some of the descriptions, one said that the sideburns of Abdullah were light. He did not have a lot of hair on the side of his cheeks. And he said that the hair of his beard did not connect together until Abdullah had, reached the age of 60. Now, one of the Sahaba said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "We have these young boys in Al-Madinah who are growing, Abdullah ibn Ja'far, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, Umar ibn Abi Salama, and others." So some people said, "O Messenger of Allah, if you shake hands with them, if they pay allegiance to you, then your barakah, your blessing will, you know, hit them. And people will talk about them, that they paid allegiance to the Prophet. The Prophet specified them with this shaking the hands." The Prophet agreed, so they were brought to where the Prophet was. But all these young boys, when they saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they felt his presence, they were afraid to go forward. They just like went backwards, they stepped backwards, because of the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his awesomeness. Abdullah ibn Zubayr went forward. He was a daring person. He went forward. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked that. He smiled and he, you know, said, "He is the son of his father. He is the son of his father." And then he paid allegiance with him, he shook hands with him. Because his father was Az-Zubayr and he was known for his, you know, courage and fighting and so on, as we mentioned previously. One time the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told Abdullah, "Remember, when the Prophet died, this boy was about 10 years old. So keep this in mind." So one time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a container which had blood, the blood of the Prophet in it. So the Prophet told him, "Go and spill it somewhere, you know, away. Go and spill that blood somewhere away." It means get rid of it, bury it, etc. And he said, "Where no one will see you. Where no one will see you." So when Zubair went far from being seen by the Prophet, he drank the blood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when he came back, the Prophet asked him, "What did you do with the blood?" He said, "I drank it so that my knowledge and my faith become stronger. And so that something that came from the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would mix with my body. And my body is more worthy to have it than the earth." That's what he said. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told him, "Abishir, la tamassuka an-naru abada." He said, "Have the good news that hellfire will never touch your body." وَوَيْلٌ لَكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَوَيْلٌ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْكَ. And then the Prophet said, "And woe to you from people, and woe to the people from you." So he told him that he will not be touched by hellfire, so he gave him good news, just like he gave his father before. But then he told him, "Woe to you from people," means someone is going to hurt you, "and woe to the people from you," because you also you'll be, you know, hurting people. Some of the deeds, being a very obedient slave of Allah, were described by Thabit al-Bunani. Thabit al-Bunani is a follower of Anas ibn Malik, the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was a very righteous follower of the companions, this Thabit. He said, "I used to pass by Abdullah ibn Zubayr while praying behind the maqam," you know where Al-Kaaba is, and then there is a place where the footsteps of Prophet Ibrahim are. So that's called Maqamu Ibrahim. So I would pass by him while praying behind Al-Maqam, means close to Al-Kaaba. And he would be just like a piece of log. He doesn't move at all. And another man called Al-A'mash said, Yahya ibn Wathab said, Ibn Zubayr, when he used to make sujood, birds would fall on his back. It would go up, you know, fly, come back, and fly and come back. And he would not move at all, as if he is like a wall, just straight. You know, he's in sujood, he does not move at all. And people said that Ibn Zubayr used to stay up at night until, he means pray, until Al-Fajr comes in, until dawn breaks. And he would make ruku' until, you know, the dawn comes out, and he makes sujood until, you know, at night, until Al-Fajr breaks out. Imam Ahmad said, Abdul Razzaq learned prayer, how to pray, from Ibn Juraij. Those are great scholars. And Ibn Juraij learned from Ata. And Ata learned from Ibn Zubayr, from Abdullah. And Abdullah ibn Zubayr learned from Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. And Abu Bakr al-Siddiq learned how to pray from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's just mentioning that Ibn Zubayr has a continuous chain to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to praying. It means whoever was following the example of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, praying the way Abdullah ibn Zubayr was praying, he would be praying like what the Prophet prayed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he learned from his grandfather, Abu Bakr, who learned from the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people were telling Umar ibn Abdul Aziz later, when he became a ruler, that one of these rocks that were, you know, projected, were thrown at Al-Kaaba by a catapult, he said it went on one of the balconies of the masjid while Ibn Zubayr was praying there. So a chunk of that rock flew and it passed between the beard and the throat of Ibn Zubayr, like passed like this, glanced him, you know, like. And Ibn Zubayr did not move. He was just continued to praying as if nothing is happening to him. I mean, he did not move, and even his features did not change, as if nothing happened. When Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz radiyallahu anhu heard this description, he said, لا إله إلا الله جاء ما وصفت. He said, لا إله إلا الله, no one is God but Allah, and what you said is correct. Means, I have heard the description of the prayer of Abdullah ibn Zubayr. When Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma was asked about Abdullah ibn Zubayr, he said, كان قارئا لكتاب الله. He was a reciter of the book of Allah. Means he recited it frequently. متبعا لسنة رسول الله. He was following the sunnah, the way of the messenger of Allah. قانتا لله صائما في الهواجر من مخافة الله. He would pray in obedience to Allah. He would fast on the hot days out of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Hawari Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the son of the supporter of the Messenger of Allah. If you remember, we said the Prophet said, لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ حَوَارِي وَحَوَارِيَّ الزُّبَيْرِ. And he said that every prophet has a supporter, and Az-Zubayr, the father of Abdullah, is my supporter. وَأُمُّهُ بِنْتُ الصِّدِّيقِ. His mother Asma is the daughter of Abu Bakr. وَخَالَتُهُ عَائِشَةُ حَبِيبَةُ حَبِيبِ اللَّهِ زَوْجَةُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And his aunt, maternal aunt, means the sister of his mother, was Aisha, the beloved one, the beloved wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it means, here are his description, who he is, what he is, and فَلَا يَجْهَلُ حَقَّهُ إِلَّا مَنْ أَعْمَاهُ اللَّهُ. Only the one whom Allah made blind would be denying his merit. He would just act as he doesn't know who Abdullah was. I mean, some people sometimes they say, who is that person? They don't want to acknowledge his merit, his high rank. So Abdullah ibn Abbas says, only the person whom Allah blinded would be ignorant, would reject or deny the status of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, rahimahullah. And it is narrated that one time he was praying and a snake dropped from the ceiling of his house and it came and surrounded the belly of his child, his boy, named Hashim. So the women saw the snake and they started screaming and everybody was upset because the snake is on the body of his child. And they all, came and they killed the snake. And the boy was safe. Alhamdulillah, was not hurt. They did all of that screaming and this, killing of the snake, while Ibn Zubayr, his father, the father of that child, he was still praying. He did not look around and he did not, know what happened until he made salam. He was so absorbed in his prayer, he did not know what these people were doing around him. Radiallahu anhu. He said, people could not do acts of obedience as much as Ibn Zubayr did. He said, one time the rain came and the area got flooded in Al-Kaaba, the area of Al-Kaaba. So Ibn Zubayr started making tawaf swimming. So he did not stop. He just, it's flooding now. People would just say, let me go home. He just continued to do his act of obedience. In this case, he was making tawaf around Al-Kaaba, swimming. Some people said, nobody could compete with three things against Ibn Zubayr. Nobody can go head to head with Ibn Zubayr in three things. In his acts of worship, in his bravery, and in his eloquence, the way he spoke. Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu, made Abdullah ibn Zubayr one of the people who copied, who wrote down the Mus'haf, the Quran, when he ordered his collection. And his voice was very loud. Abdullah ibn Zubayr, his voice was very loud. If he stood, you know, talk, like gave a speech, then the echo of his sound with his voice would be heard in the mountains of Mecca. He was slim, not tall. You could see a sign of, between his eyes, the sign of worship, of salah. He was very diligent. He was chivalrous, magnanimous. He was, it means if somebody asked for his help, he would immediately help. He was eloquent, fasting in the day, praying at night. He was dignified. He had high determination, diligence. His beard was light. Few hairs were in his face. He had a forelock, a hair like coming forward. And he had a yellow beard. Of course, he put some, you know, henna on it. Now, he went with one of the companions who led an army in called Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh. He, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, went in that army, and they were 100,000, the army of the enemy Berber at that time, means Northwest Africa, were 120,000. The Muslims were only 20,000, like one-sixth of the enemy. And they were surrounded by the enemy. Abdullah took, you know, made some tricks, took 30 horsemen with him until they reached the head of the enemy, the king of those Berbers. And he, you know, came from him, and they could not, you know, trace him until they reached them. And then the king ran away. Abdullah chased him until he killed him and brought his head. And the Muslims said, Allahu Akbar, because they were able to kill the king of their enemy. And then they attacked the enemy and they defeated them, killed many people of them, took a lot of spoils at the time. Then Ibn Abi Sarh, this commander, he sent this good news to Uthman, the caliph, with Ibn Zubayr, with Abdullah. So he told Uthman, Abdullah, what happened. Of course, Uthman was very happy. He told him, why don't you just stand out and tell the public, people, what happened, so that the morals of the Muslims would, you know, go better. So he went, he said, yes, I'll do it. So he stood on a high place, on minbar, and then he started telling the people what happened, how they fought the enemy and so on. Then Abdullah said, while I was giving the speech, I looked aside and I saw my father there. So when I looked at him, I almost, you know, stumbled in my talk, because his father is there and he felt, you know, respect for his father. So he was like, you know, a little bit stuttering. So my father gave me a sign with his eye that continue, I like what you're doing. So it's continue. So he said, when my father gave me this sign, I continued as I was with the same strength, and I finished it. When I finished, he said to me, my father, Az-Zubayr, said, Wallahi, لك أني أسمع خطبة أبي بكر الصديق حين سمعت خطبتك يا بني. He told him, I swear by Allah, as if I was listening to the speech of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq when I was listening to your speech, O my son. Means like you said the same thing, the way you see Abu Bakr spoke and the content. Of course, his grandfather was Abu Bakr, so he must have gotten a lot from him. And Abdullah was among the people who defended Uthman when people came and surrounded his house. And he was, you know, wounded many times at that time. Also, he was with Aisha, his aunt, in the Battle of the Camel. And for some reason, she did not hear from him. And then somebody brought her the news that he was alive. So Aisha was very happy to know that her nephew was alive. And she gave a reward to the one who carried the good news to her, because she loved him very much. Urwa ibn Zubayr, he said that Aisha did not love anyone after the Messenger of Allah and Abu Bakr like her, she loved Ibn Zubayr Abdullah. And he said, I did not see my father, as Zubayr, and Aisha making a dua to anyone as much as they made dua to Abdullah Ibn Zubayr radiyallahu anhu. So, we know the other stories that Abdullah ibn Zubayr became the caliph, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan directed the army under the control, the command of Al-Hajjaj, and this Al-Hajjaj came and he killed Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiyallahu anhu in the year 73 Hijri on the 17th of Jumad al-Ula. Ibn Zubayr ruled in the year 64, so 73 minus 64, you know, and he had made Hajj with the people during all the years of his rulership. He led the Muslims in Hajj. He built Al-Kaaba, remember, it was destroyed, and he rebuilt it. And he made a kiswa, he put a cover on it of silk. Before, people used to put just anything, you know, but he didn't feel that was respectful enough to Al-Kaaba, so he covered it with a cover of silk. And we mentioned that he was a worshipful person. One person said that Ibn Zubayr used to have 100 servants, 100 slaves, and each one of them speaks a different language. And Abdullah used to speak to all of them. Whatever language they had, he could speak to them without a problem. And this man said, his name is Umar ibn Qais, he said, when you look at how he managed his worldly affairs, you would say this person is not thinking about the Day of Judgment when he ran his worldly affairs, how he managed his business. When you look at him, when he is doing the acts of worship, the prayers, etc., fasting, you would say this person is not thinking about this life. He's thinking only about the other life. It means he could do both very well. His heart was not attached to this life, but it doesn't mean that he would mismanage or, you know, undermanage his property. And Al-A'mash narrated that from Abu Duha, he said, I saw on the head of Ibn Zubayr musk, so expensive that if I had that money, I would use it as a capital, and I would use it something to start my business with. So the musk that he had on him was very expensive. And he used to perfume Al-Kaaba to the extent that a person who is very far from Al-Kaaba would smell that good smell of Al-Kaaba. All of this out of respect to Al-Kaaba. There are many things, subhanAllah, to say about him. InshaAllah, I'll say it because 5 more minutes, inshaAllah. It's going to be longer than usual, but inshaAllah you'll be happy. So when Abdullah was killed, his mom went out, of course, to see his body. And Al-Hajjaj came to bother her. So he told her, you could see how Allah gave victory to the people of the truth, meaning he was truthful and her son was following the, you know, evil. She said, maybe Allah gave you some victory, but it doesn't mean that you are following the truth. He told her, your son committed ilhad in al-Masjid al-Haram. you know, in the Quran, he said, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقُهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. The ayah says that whoever commits, you know, acts of evil in the area of Al-Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, then Allah will make him taste, make this person taste very painful torture. So he told her, look, Allah gave him a painful torture, meaning that this person was evil, your son was evil in doing this in Al-Masjid al-Haram. She told him, you are a liar. He was the first to be born in Al-Madinah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was happy with his birth. He himself, the Prophet, rubbed his mouth with dates when he was born. The Muslims, all the Muslims, made takbir when he was born because they were happy with his birth. You and your friends, you were happy with killing him. And the one who was happy on the day he was born are better than you and your friends. And above that, he was very kind to his parents, fasting many days and praying at night, reading the book of Allah. He was respectful. He glorified the religion of Allah. He hated who disobeys Allah. I testify that the Messenger of Allah, I heard him say, يخرج من ثقيف كذاب ومبير. يخرج من ثقيف كذاب ومبير. وفي رواية سيخرج من ثقيف كذابان. الآخر منهما شر من الأول وهو مبير. She told him, I testify that I heard the Messenger of Allah said that there will be two liars come out of the tribe of Thaqif. The last one of them is worse than the first one. And he is a destroyer, a destructor, a person who kills many people unjustly. We know the first one was Al-Mukhtar, the one who claimed himself to be the assistant of Al-Mahdi, and then he claimed that he was receiving revelation. And the second one was Al-Hajjaj. And she told him, I heard the Prophet saying that two people from the tribe who are liars will show up. The latter one, the one who comes later, is worse than the first one. And he will be killing people unjustly. Inshallah, later will be talking about this bad man called Al-Hajjaj, inshallah, in a later classes. So when she told him that, he shrunk and he left, because he could not make her, you know, sad or bother her, intimidate her. She told him that you are the liar that the Prophet mentioned. So when Abdul Malik, his boss, if you want, the ruler, he got that dialogue. He reached the news of this dialogue happened. He told him, why did you bother? What is wrong with you to go and talk to the daughter of the righteous man? Means the daughter of Abu Bakr. Why would you go and bother her like that? Means even if Abdul Malik was, you know, unjust, he still acknowledged that Asma was a good woman. And she was the daughter of a good man, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Radiallahu anhu. Now, so Abdullah ibn Zubair died, and he was like more than 70 years old. His mother did not live except 100 days after him. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. La ilaha illallah. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. إن شاء الله we'll pray على الشهادة.